Circus.
Yes.
They just had a their album drop called Songs from the Pelvic Floor.
Yes.
So you can download that off of RedTube if you want. I feel like that's Pornhub.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, STAB's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called STAB. STAB. STAB.
Yeah. Welcome to STAB. I'm your host, John Ross. We are here this day to worship the Lord. But first, we're going to meet our contestants. First, we have Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Next up, we have Ben Rice. And next, after that, we have Nick Pettigrew. And right after that, don't be confused that I said the same name twice, because I didn't. It's Michaela Pettigrew. They're married. All right. What's going on here? Oh, they're going to share a microphone.
We share germs all the time.
Okay, good. Wonderful.
Oh, that's such a better chair.
This is...
I like that one.
You're welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for playing STAB. That's it.
Hey!
Hey, guys.
Ow!
We're gonna...
Big Circus! Big Circus.
Woo! It's my second favorite band, right behind Cunt Carnival.
I told Nick Jesse will say cunt at some point tonight. So early. I
hadn't
put
had
money
it written
on
down,
it.
So I had to throw it in.
Cunt Carnival. That's what we're doing
so
later.
Far.
That's
what
we're
the only
doing
appearance.
Later tonight, Christine. You and I, the Cunt Carnival. I'll bring.
A new song called
Cunt
awesome.
Farm. He's actually putting that in memo pad right now.
Motherfucker board.
He's gonna be at band practice. He's like, dude, I came up with this really awesome idea this week. Our next album's gonna be called Cunt Carnival. That's right. Wonderful. Thank you guys for coming to STAB. We're going to start STAB. This first segment, we're going to start it. There we go. It's called This Was Today. Ben Rice, you doing okay?
Yeah, I just need a little bit more cord.
Oh, sorry, we do not have any more cord.
Then this is going to be terrible.
You need a bit. Can you trade mics? No. They're both short cords.
No.
We'll just push the board closer.
This has a bit more give.
There we go.
Is that better?
This is turning into the head like a whole Nine Inch Nails video right now. We're just all...
And we're set.
All right, guys. The name of this segment, can we fucking start the show? That'd be awesome.
This is not better.
It's called This Was the Day. This is today.
It's good.
Ben Rice, on this day, 1630, the city of Boston, Massachusetts was founded. Also on this day, 1983, Vanessa Williams becomes the first Miss Black America, or Black Miss America, not first Miss Black America. Yes, two different pageants in two different parts of our nation. Also on this day, Vanessa Williams becomes the first Black Miss America. How do you celebrate these occasions?
Well, John, today I heard the wolf cry to the blue corned moon and asked the grinning bobcat why he grinned. I walked in the footsteps of a stranger and learned things I never knew, I never knew. I ran the hidden pine trails of the forest. I tasted the sunsweet berries of the earth. And for once, I never wondered what they're worth. I heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon and asked the grinning bobcat why he grins. I walked in the footsteps of a stranger, But I still can't paint with all the colors of the wind. At least not I can't paint in black. Because okay. This is Boston, and we have a very hard time with integration. I don't know if you know the racial history of Boston, but the movie 12 Years a Slave is actually an allusion to the Boston Red Sox. If it were based on a true story, instead of taking the form of allegory, it would actually be called 12 Years an Unintegrated Baseball Team. Because Jackie Robinson made his major league debut in 1947. 1947. The Red Sox didn't integrate until 1959. 1959. And even then, they barely did it. They signed a guy named, and I'm not making this up, Pumpsy Green is the name of the black guy the Red Sox signed. And they used him entirely as a pinch runner and replacement outfielder. That's the laziest integration I've ever heard of. That's like desegregating water fountains by making them all shoot out boiling hot water so no one can use them. Going back to Vanessa Williams, though. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a really big scandal because she posed in Penthouse magazine right before she became Miss America.
Oh, my God.
But if you think about it, she had to pose in Penthouse magazine because in Boston, that was the only penthouse she was allowed to be in. Naturally, Jesus. It wasn't until 1995, 12 years later, that Boston recognized Vanessa Williams as Miss America. Because until then, they could never believe a black woman could be as beautiful as a white woman. But the times, they are a-changin'. To celebrate their sudden realization that all people are equal, as stated originally in the Constitution of the United States of America, the people of Boston actually reenacted the famous Boston Tea Party by going to Vanessa Williams' brand new Boston penthouse and dumping her into the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow, that was racist.
They called it they called it the Boston V Party.
I see what you did.
This was, of course, the preferred celebration, as roving sects of racists suggested reenacting the Boston Massacre by simply dragging Williams.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm almost done. By simply dragging Williams out into the street and shooting her,
okay.
Then referring to it as the Boston Massacre. Shameful. So anyway, today I celebrated by reenacting the Boston V Party by making vaginas all across America wet. Simply by existing in all of my white Aryan perfection.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Ben Rice, that was long.
Super long.
It was great. It was good. It was good. Nick.
Hey.
Great job. Hello, sir. Welcome. Only $50 to see the show. Only $50. But we'll five. Five. Nick, we're going to move on to you. On this day, we're going for a theme tonight.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be great.
On this day, 1849, American abolitionist Harriet Tubman escaped from slavery. Blame Wikipedia, okay? This stuff happened on the same day. Also on this very day, 1987, Pope John Paul II embraces an AIDS-infected boy while visiting San Francisco. What did you do to commemorate this date?
You got a friend in me. No, wouldn't that be awful?
That would be great.
But it does fit in with the Pope hugging a child and then the Underground Railroad. There's other stuff in there, too. When the road looks dark ahead and it's miles and miles from your nice warm bed, just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you got a friend in me, and I'll take you to freedom. That line got cut from the final version of Toy Story. Anyways, to celebrate what I affectionately refer to as Tubby Pope AIDS Day. I rode around the city in a hair-lined bathtub singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, wearing a Pope hat. That's it. And just hugging any small child.
Sounds good.
Yelling if they have AIDS first and then hugging them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Nick, that was very funny. Michaela, hello.
Hello.
On this day, 879, Charles the Simple, a French king, was born. What was his name? Charles the Simple. Also on this day, 1945, Phil Jackson, American basketball player and coach, came out of a lady. She came out of a lady. He came out of a lady. He was born. A vagina. Thank you, Vagina Circus.
Bitch circus.
Whatever.
Vagina Carnival, right? Yeah. Nope.
So Charles the Simple and both Phil Jackson, they were born on the same day. How did these dates affect your life?
Okay, so Charles the Simple, he was known for this treaty, and it was with this head Viking guy, Rollo, and he negotiated that if the Vikings would stop killing them, and if he decided to be a Christian, he would give him land and his daughter's hand in marriage.
Ooh.
Much like my father gave Nick my hand in marriage if he would just stop threatening to kill my father.
That's how it affects me.
Mm-hmm. And then Phil Jackson's the president of the Knicks, apparently. And don't know
is
anything.
He now?
Apparently. That's what Wikipedia said. He has a holistic approach to coaching and is named the Zen Master.
You're such a girl, by the way. I'll tell you why in a second.
He cites the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance as a major guiding point of his life. My favorite book, also. But also, I love French things, and I like to keep things simple, and I live... This is when Nick told me that Phil Jackson is the firm believer of the triangle D.
Mm-hmm.
D is for dicks. So I believe triangular dicks just go in smoother. So I'm a big fan.
Okay. That's all right. Great.
Thank you.
You're such a girl.
Such a girl.
Because he also led two teams to like 50 NBA titles.
Blah, blah, blah.
Michael Jordan.
Not important.
He has more rings than Pope John Paul II. I'm sure of it.
I'm sure he's really good at what he does.
He's great job. Good job. Jesse Jones, bring us home on this first one.
Sure.
On this day, 1809, the Wright Flyer, flown by Orville Wright with Lieutenant Thomas Selfridge as a passenger, crashes, killing Lieutenant Selfridge.
Mm-hmm.
He became the first airplane fatality. Also on this day, 1948, John Ritter, American actor and producer, got born too. How'd you do today for it?
Well, I can tell you what I didn't do today.
Okay.
And that is that I most certainly did not spend the afternoon with my two young, strictly platonic, sexually liberated female roommates combing over newly acquired footage of the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. That wasn't obtained through questionable means. At least that's the story I'd like you to tell whichever one of my nosy landlords you see. I still can't keep track of which one is my current landlord and which is the former. Also, if they ask, I'm super gay. For some reason, it's the only way I can get on this lease, which seems like unfair rental practices. Yeah. Gay clause.
Is it like gay Santa Claus?
Yeah, it's gay Claus. It's when his suit's been washed a little too much and it starts fading to pink.
To pink, yeah.
Gay clause.
Gay clause. Thank you.
It's a good thing that this doesn't require any sort of pacing to maintain any sort of flow. Yes, super gay.
Jesse.
Yeah.
What's the secret to comedy? Timing.
Timing.
Yeah. Okay. Reading pieces of paper. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it seems like unfair rental practices, as I said.
Yep.
Though it's just as likely that the landlord with the neckerchief might have just been asking because he's trolling. I mean, I assume older guys like that had to be a lot more careful when trying to find like-minded gentlemen in his day. But really, as poorly as me and my roommate's aircraft mishap investigation startup is going, I might have to resort to trading sexual favors to make rent soon. Hmm. At which point, I'm just going to have to commit to gay, because once you've let a 200-year-old man dust your tonsils with his dehydrated genetic material to fend off homelessness for 30 days, it's going to be real difficult to convince your penis not to shudder in horror every time it hears a zipper go down ever again.
There it was. That's the end of that part.
Sorry.
Good job.
Yeah. It was long. It was long partly due to interruption.
Hey, guys, this show is filmed in front of a live studio audience. Just a reminder. Very live. This next segment is called Reorganization. Take these existing acronyms and reimagine them. What does this new acronym stand for, and who does it now represent? Ben Rice, you've been given DTF. Nick Pettigrew, you've been given LSD. Michaela, you've been given DSL. And Jesse Jones, you've been given NFL. Ben Rice, let's start with DTF.
All right. DTF, formerly Down to Fuck, now means Dogma Terror Force. It's pretty self-explanatory, really. The Dogma Terror Force was formed as a predictive counter-movement to any and all attacks on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and any and all of his beliefs. Utilizing the well-known and beloved Fifth Commandment, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, Dogma Terror Force, or DTF, spreads the message of God through the most powerful method of all, a gun in your face. Everyone's a believer on their deathbed, am I right?
Yes.
Failing that, their secondary plan of attack is yelling. Yelling incessantly until you shut your big dumb mouth. Well, being DTF isn't for everyone, it damn well should be. God bless America.
Woo! Nick!
Yeah?
You've been given LSD.
Okay.
Seriously, you've been given LSD. You've been given the acronym LSD. What does it now stand for?
LSD now stands for the Labial Standards Division.
Okay. Bitch circus.
A part of the DVWM, Department of Vaginal Weights and Measures. These hardworking scientists, gynos, and janitors are just trying to rein in the staggering diversity of the labial experience.
Staggering.
Their motto, labia silgata. Which translates in Latin to, our lips are sealed.
We don't keep score here. This is like Little League in 2008. Michaela, be the second to last person to bring us home in this segment.
Okay, DSL has four meanings, but yes. It is downstairs lady.
Okay.
It's either one, the lady that lives downstairs from you.
Okay.
Two, a girl that likes butt stuff. Three, a lesbian. And four, all of the above.
Oh.
So. That's it.
Good job. Jesse Jones, for the block. Jesse Jones, the acronym you've been given is NFL.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple too, but the main one was naturally fermented leavens, which is a brewing method handed down for generations by which rural alcohol enthusiasts allow gently flattened organic interstate produce, or roadkill, such as gray squirrels, possums, raccoons, or in some cases, briefly unobserved children. to settle naturally into the street, absorbing the hints of moss, asphalt, and galvanized rubber over a period of weeks, sometimes months, until the mash has reached its peak of flavor and aroma. At which point, fourth generation certified moonshine technicians remove the carcass or vessel and wring them out over heirloom mason jars, which, to ensure maximum flavor, have not been rinsed since the first half of the 20th century. I also discovered that NFL additionally stands for Nickelback Furniture Liquidators, which is a company that sells the furnishings and equipment of Nickelback's studio in order to support their Adderall addiction. And Never Force Lactation, a group of non-nursing women bringing awareness to a problem plaguing 1 in 83 sexually deviant couples.
Wonderful. That ends that segment. Reorganization. I also think NFL could also stand for not for ladies. Not for ladies, ladies and gentlemen. This next segment is way funnier than the last joke I told. It's called the Department of Tourism. You guys, you've just been hired as the new director of your city's tourism board to promote more tourism to your city. Now make us want to come to your city. Ben Rice, you were given the city of Bon Joviville. Nick, you were given the city Asian Gangopolis. Michaela, you were given the city Spit on an Elderly Town. And Jesse Jones, you were given Dog Heaven. Let's go ahead and start. We'll start with Michaela, and come this way. Michaela. How long have I known you?
Six years? Yeah. Keep trying. Spit on an Elderly Town. So it's just filled with old people that are allergic to lubrication, but they want to get their fuck on. So you come to the town and you spit on them. So you come to their town so others can come.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Listen, I gave these prompts.
Yeah. Yes.
Less than 18 night. Hours ago. That was funny though, and I do want to. I want this town to exist. When I'm old, one day. Nick.
All right.
Asian Gangopolis.
Come enjoy a taste of the Orient at wonderful Asian Gangopolis. Marvel at the nightly Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift reenactments, which are just people driving. Get a full body tattoo of a fucking goldfish. Dance the night away, hopped up on China White, feeling the gentle rub of a ladyboy's beanpole.
God.
Meet David Lopan himself, actor James Hong. He can't leave. Yakuza, more like Yakuza, at Asian Gangopolis.
Ben Rice.
All right.
We're halfway there, Ben Rice.
Yep. Thank you.
Because it's ladies and gentlemen, Ben Rice will be making us want to come to Bon Joviville.
Welcome to Bon Joviville, a little New Jersey living just a steel horse rides away. Imagine if you could run away to the most gorgeous and pristine mansions this or that side of the Mississippi. And whoa, you're halfway there. Whoa, because you're actually be living on a prayer. That's right. Here at Bon Joviville, we've found a way to manifest your innermost wishes, desires, and deepest, darkest secrets into your own one-of-a-kind dream home. Because it's your life, it's now or never. You're not gonna live forever. You just wanna live where you belong. And where you belong is in a secure sky fortress amongst the angels. Or at least amongst people with the angelic voice of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer John Bon Jovi. As an added bonus, you'll find everything as pristine as John's luscious locks themselves. That's because here at Bon Joviville, we do an annual spring steening. That's that famous New Jersey hospitality. But be careful, the floors are slippery when wet. Our prayer homes give inner-city living a bad name. But if you're not ready to settle down and make the move to Bon Joviville, that's okay. Take your time. Maybe seek some professional advice from the Richie Samboracle, our very own fortune teller. Lay your hands on his brand new six string. Bought it at the five and dime, and you'll see what your future holds. Spoiler alert, you want to live in Bon Joviville. It's the town that wants to be with you. Deep inside, I know you feel it
too. That's Mr. Bigville.
Those last two references weren't to Bon Jovi songs.
Okay, good.
They're just done by really great imitators that deserve your respect. But you'll find no imitations here in Bon Joviville, where truly splendid living is always wanted, wanted, dead or alive.
Great. Ben Rice, I didn't know you were going to sing so much.
So much singing.
This is the fused. Just shut up, John.
I told you it was going to be a lot of things.
That was great. It was great. Jesse Jones, bring us home again.
Again.
The place that you're supposed to make us want to come to.
Uh-huh.
Dog Heaven.
Sure.
Dog Heaven.
Located on a beautiful, lush, sprawling farmland just upstate. Dog Heaven has everything your best friend could ever dream of. Delicious, slow-moving, gravy-dipped cats. We'll give Fido just enough of the chase he wants with the sweet, savory flavor of beef that he really craves. Every second Tuesday of the month, Dog Heaven welcomes a team of highly trained professional canine proctologists who delicately hand-drain your beloved companion's anal sac.
Oh.
It's a problem that dogs have.
True.
So that everyone can... Yes, Anal Sack, the next album, coming next fall
from Bitch Circus.
Bitch Circus!
Draining your anal sack! We're just spitballing here, guys. It does. I feel like I'm owed 10% of your next album. Draining your anal sack so that everyone can more easily recognize each other at the Daily Snifters, a regular morning play date where puppies of all shapes and sizes get together and engage in good, strong, lung full of each other's respective assholes. Dog Heaven does not have hours of visitation, so please stop asking your father. And it's best to just think about how much happier your pooch is now that they're... And know that they were absolutely not shop-vacked out of a veterinarian's oven when you were 9 years old.
What? wait, there's more.
That's, no, that that's was all it. For that.
All right.
That's all for that.
That was Department of Tourism. This next, we're going to save the poems for last, ladies and gentlemen. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles. Here's some movie titles that I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. Michaela, you were given the movie title, Those Goddamn Babies. Nick, you were given the movie title, Panting Mime. Ben Rice, you were given the movie title, Get to Know My Tongue. And Jesse Jones, you were given the movie title, The Tally-Ho Shit Rally. We're going to go ahead and start. We'll go ahead and start with Michaela with Those Goddamn Babies.
All right. Breckin Meyer stars as Derek Lanley, a detective in a small sleepy town in Fisherville. One night, there are reports coming in about small creatures eating the townspeople alive. Derek discovers that it is the 200-year anniversary of when the town sacrificed 37 babies to the Gerber monster that lives underground. Derek must convince the town's only baby-killing expert, Doc Thompson, the retired abortion doctor, to help him save the town from those goddamn Gerber babies.
Great job. Nicholas Pettigrew. Nicholas C. Pettigrew.
W.
W. Winston? Nicholas Winston Pettigrew?
William.
Nicholas Winston okay.
Yeah.
No. All right. The movie title you've been given is Panting Mime?
Yes, Panting mark? Panting Mime. An asthmatic mime finds himself trapped in a box.
All right. Good.
Just keep that.
Ben Rice. Getting to know my tongue.
All right. Love, lust, chin, spinach, thrusting, glistening, slippery, wet. Watch in amazement as young Harry Quivering Rod explores his carnal desires, darting his most manly muscle into and out of twitching twats and gaping gashes. This throwback to a bygone era of pornography will leave you breathless as Harry's thick, throbbing red mouth meat jabs deeply, slowly into the waiting pubis of any and every comer. And oh, the excitement as the women he probes with his altered proboscis return the favor, slobbering on his succulent man-meat while moaning in ecstasy. Marvel as he mashes his mandible against some random gal's gluteus maximus and shriek in glee as the gods divine who will survive. It's a dazzling affair as lips linger too long and coiled tongues unfurl in the most unexpected of places. It's a seven-course meal of gluttony and sin in the din of the dankest basements of Silicon Valley as the saliva flows in every direction, pouring from the slick mouths, mounds, muffs, and monsters of so many dames, dudes, studs, and starlets, and even featuring a special appearance by a famous Lothario. Oh my, how the tables have turned as Quivering Rod slams his popsicle sucker against the engorged cunt blaster of 70s, icon Lou Ferrigno. And marvel at the stunning conclusion as hundreds of licking appendages bury themselves in every orifice, every pore of Harry's being as he desperately tries to return the favor. So much more than diction is done with the tip of the tongue and the teeth. In this low-budget ass-suction thriller, XX extravaganza, getting to know my tongue.
Wow. Is it hot in here?
I wrote that at work.
Jesse Jones.
That was so much alliteration.
Yeah, that was great. Jesse Jones, I want this to be brought home, and I'm afraid to ask you to do it.
We'll see.
So would you mind bringing this part home? The name of your movie title is The Tally-Ho Shit Rally. Tally-Ho Shit Rally.
Yes. Eccentric Chinese billionaire Tally-Ho Shit is about to drop the flag on the wildest cross-country race that Canada's ever seen. Amateur stuntman Gunnar Hardcastle, played by Johnny Knoxville, knows that the only way he's going to make the big time is if he can pay for a self-financed motorcycle jump over the abandoned Neverland Ranch. And Ho Shit's $5 million cash prize for the first person to deliver, or the first driver to post two selfies from in front of the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, is exactly what the doctor wrote it. But Gunner isn't the only one with his eyes on the prize. The highways and the byways of the Great White North are going to be choked with a cast of characters just as crazy and offensive as the challenge. Featuring Rob Schneider playing internationally wanted con artist Melvin Shifty, who disguises himself as Rabbi Greedy Juman,
oh, Jesus.
Pretending to be a Moyle late for a Vancouver Briss, is just the kind of selfish scumbag a movie like this needs. Bestiality enthusiasts Clem and Phlegm Feedbag, Larry the Cable Guy and Mad TV's Bobby Lee, respectively, just might be front runners if they can keep their pants on all the way through farm country. A special appearance by Burt Reynolds as himself. And frisky token female, Labia Supreme, played by Jenny McCarthy, has just the right amount of sass and cleavage to easily look at for 87 minutes. The Tally-Ho Shit Rally, rated R for sexually suggestive farming practices, insulting racial caricatures, simulated diarrhea, and lingering full frontal Kato Kaelin.
Want to see all those movies. You guys, this next segment is actually the Bring It Home segment of all segments. It's called... where's it at? Write an instructional poem about it. Write an instructional poem about it. We're going to start with Michaela down on the end there. You were to write... You were to write an instructional poem on how to spot a white person. How to spot a white person.
All right. Perhaps you are confused by the various hues that a person's skin can be without any other clues. If ever you've wondered if your friend is Caucasian, here are some hints that can help in any occasion. Do they tell you about their environmentally friendly hybrid? Do they refer to camping as going off the grid? Is a person drinking coffee most likely fair traded? Does their air of superiority seem somewhat jaded? Do they tell you that they're not racist before proving it so? Do they insist that they have a black friend that you probably know? Do they tell you the kind of phone that they own or make you listen to their new Star Wars ringtone? Have they talked incessantly about growing out their bangs? Do they tell you about this great Chinese restaurant called P.F. Chang's? Do they stop every 5 minutes to take a new selfie? Do they tell you they juice fast because it's so healthy? I hope you now understand that the person in sight is undeniably, unarguably, and predominantly white.
Way to bring it home. Good job. Way to bring home your part of bringing it home. I just want to... Nicholas Pettigrew, Nicholas W.
Yes.
Pettigrew.
William.
Mr. Nicholas W. KRP.
In Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Nick. Right. Please have written an instructional poem in regards to the wrong ways to use birth control.
There's more to birth control than just... let me restart. I already fucked it up. There's more to birth control than just keeping safe on a fellow's pole. For example, get juice and condoms from the shop for a delicious homemade otter pop. Confused what to do with a diaphragm? It makes a great serving dish for a dip made of clam. Looking to make your chili more hearty? Just crush up the pill and now it's a party. People may protest again about the increase in estrogen. That was kind of sticky. But everyone will ride the slip and slide on their belly because it's coated with spermicidal jelly. That's it.
Good job.
Damn it.
Great. Ben Rice, I feel like this one fits you and your beard.
Thank you.
I'm not making fun of your beard. I usually have one just like it. Ben Rice, please have written an instructional poem in regards to how to properly whip a child.
Thank you. Yes. This one's called Dun 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 Dun. Meow, meow. All right. When your child's acting out for no reason at all, you need to restore your clout. You need to stand tall. So when your little runts, being a little bitch, go grab a switch. Go grab a switch. A switch is a stick used for whoopings.
A switch is a stick that takes away sins. A switch is a stick that makes your baby cringe. A switch is what's flicked when you're on a drug binge. And your kids are acting up about demons or wanting a pup. Now that you know what a switch is, it's time to get down to business. Bend him over at the waist, and with smooth and silent grace, caress his buttocks with the tip of your twig. Go slow, man. Your switch is so big.
What's happening?
Hold on. Let the branch slide slowly across his thighs. His pink, pudgy, shapeless, undeveloped thighs, indicative of his endless youth and innocence. I'm talking about a switch, guys. I'm beating my child. Anyway, these thighs are indicative of his endless youth and innocence. Then pull back forcefully and bring it down within an inch. Then chuckle and tell him, no, not yet. Not until you feel true regret. I'm sorry, Daddy, he'll plead and call, and that's when the whipping feels best of all. As you slam and you slash and you whip and you thrash all over his spoiled little ass. And you tremble and shake, and then you get baked because you'll have realized you've just made a terrible mistake. Thank you. Thank you. You gave me it. I'm beating my child. You taunt him. And then you beat him. And I was pointing out how incredibly terrible it is because they aren't even formed human beings yet. That's what that line was for. You can read into it what you want. Mine was purely about beating a child.
I don't know that this is the room for subtlety we've discovered this evening.
It's just
trauma. Yeah.
Jesse Jones, you know, for the true Daily Double, please have written an instructional poem about the U.S. military's 10-step guide on how to dispose of dead terrorists that they just found out weren't terrorists at all.
Sure. And it's funny you mentioned video when, accidentally mentioned video when talking to Ben, because I actually transcribed a piece of military training material that I found from 1983. Which used the most common instructional medium of the day, a music video, wrapping the 10 points of unintentional engagement resolution. And it went something like this. So just like we've all seen the Carl's Jr. training videos.
Right.
The guy. So
Wendy's.
Was it Wendy's? I couldn't remember which one. So just imagine that. All right. So you say your airstrike went awry. Well, don't you fuss now. Don't you cry. Because the folks at the C to the I to the A are here right now to save the day. Just follow this plan like we know you can, and we'll hide your goofs in Afghanistan. From Baghdad, Iraq, and all the way back, no one will be wise to your accident attack. Step one in the plan is lots of fun. Just locate the victim and give him a gun. Now, armed and mean, it's plain to see they were a threat to Homeland Security. Now, let's move right on down the line. The second step, to cover your behind. Scrub the data from the mission. Target error is your position. Were they on anybody's no-fly lists? Did they have ties to terrorists? If they didn't, be cool, be chill. By the end of step three, they certainly will. Now to step four, where we settle the score and erase evidence of who they were before. No family man here. He lived to strike fear. We were just lucky that we found him here. Page two. Step five, you bet we build the threat. Demonstrate how we stopped what we hadn't done yet. Now, he's a jihadist lieutenant with anti-American sentiment. Recipes for bomb parts were found in his basement. And don't you fret if this job got wet. We haven't even gotten to the best part yet. Step six has a team we specially train to mop up the blood and scoop up the brain. Step seven just might be the best part yet. It makes it so easy when you... God damn it. That's so terrible. Step 7 just might be the best of all. It makes it so easy when you make the call. If there's two or more caught up in the mix, step 7 says repeat steps 1 through 6. Steps 8, 9, 10 are classified. If you don't know what happens, then they can't say you lied. Now quietly resign and never mention what happened today, and you can live on your pension. That's 10 easy steps for you, my friend. Now let's never speak of this again. Because it's a two-way street keeping secrets for you. You keep your mouth shut, and we will too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Stab. Stab is over. One more time for Jesse Jones, Ben Rice, Nicholas WKRP in Cincinnati, Pettigrew, and Mikaela Pettigrew. Keep it going. Also, really quick, just a little inside baseball. Usually we give the prompts to all these participants 3 days ahead of time. Everyone got their prompts last night at around 9 o'clock or later. So this is one day, not even a full day of preparation, and they fucking did that. So one more round of applause for the amazing amount of talent we have up here on this stage. So thank you guys for coming. We do appreciate it. And if you want to buy another beer, you can. Okay. Good night.
Hey.